classical is your genre, WHFR is the place to be in the late night hours until 10 a.m. 7 days a week. From Beethoven and Mozart to Bach and Brahms, let it lull you to sleep at night and wake you up in the morning. Or for you night owls, enjoy the soothing sounds of classical music all night long. 89.3 FM or WHFR.FM on your computer. Pick WHFR, the station for classical.
Considering a career as a social worker, mental health technician, or counselor? If so, check out the Social Work and Counseling Technician program at Henry Ford College. You can earn your associate in applied science degree through HFC's School of Health and Human Services. For more information, contact our Learning Success Center at 313-845-9750. That's 313-845-9750.
Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
Welcome to the WHFR Journal. We are well into the summer season and enjoying everything that that brings to our Metro Detroit community. Susan McGraw here. It is a pleasure to have you here as a member of our loyal listening team. We are joined, speaking of loyal listeners and loyal guests and just loyal contributors to the scene of what makes Detroit so special. We are joined on our phone line today with the deputy director for, as I understand, like 16 plus years at this point, for the Concert of Colors, Metro Detroit's annual diversity festival. This year, the 31st annual diversity festival. You know who I'm talking about, Mr. Ralph Valdez. Ralph, it's a pleasure to have you on the line and can't wait to hear about what to expect for this year's festival.
Oh, thank you, Susan. It's very exciting to be able to talk to you as we've done pretty much for a long time now, and to have WHFR as a partner for the Concert of Colors. So yeah, we've got a lot of exciting things to discuss.
Thank you. We sure do. For people that have just no knowledge of what we're talking about when we say Concert of Colors, I find that hard to believe, particularly with our loyal listeners, because they know what they know their music. But when it comes to introducing this event to somebody that is brand new, fresh ears, how do you go about trying to sort of encapsulate all the excitement and everything that this entity brings to somebody for the first time?
Well, I would say a short description would be it's a free, large world music festival that celebrates diversity. And our founder, Ismail Ahmed, who also co-founded Access in Dearborn, envisioned the Concert of Colors in the early days as a grassroots community event in parks in the neighborhoods to showcase various cultures, their food, their dance, their music, and build bridges that way. So the festival continues along that vein and with that mission, but has obviously grown in 31 years. So we're very proud of the history that we have. And short description would be a fun, all ages, free world music festival.
You hit it. That's exactly the way I think most people view this, which is good. There's no disconnect there, right? What we're hoping to put out, we're putting out. When we express the concept of music, world music, diversity, and all of that, I think that you really kind of have to experience this thing at least once to really feel that depth and that breadth of the true nature of diversity, of the variety of world music and what world music means, I think, to our community. This year, looking at the lineup, and I hope to get into it in just a little bit, but seems certainly no exception. And then some staples that we expect year after year are coming back, which is very exciting as well. But in terms of the concept of how to get involved in this, where to show up, do you get tickets? What is that sort of logical process for connecting to this festival? How do we do that?
We have kept it very easy. No tickets. It's all just general admission. Show up and have fun. Bring a lawn chair for the outdoor concerts if you would like. Our home base in the last few years has been the Detroit Institute of Arts on Woodward, just a wonderful, of course, legacy institute and organization here in Detroit that we're very, very proud of in Southeast Michigan. We have a North Lawn stage, which would be considered our main stage, the larger stage. We have a South Lawn stage, which would be a little bit smaller. And everything is, as I said, free. So the weekend of July 21st, 22nd, and 23rd is really the hub of the activity there in Midtown, like I said, based in the area of the Detroit Institute of Arts. And so, yeah, no tickets are required. There's plenty of parking, and there's activities for young and old. And the music, of course, is the main attraction. The festival itself, though, Susan, it begins on Wednesday, July 19th at the Arab American National Museum, which is a longtime partner for the Concert of Colors, of course. And every year they kick us off with a forum on community, culture, and race. And this year, the theme is air, water, land, and climate change. Very timely topics, of course. And there'll be a whole list of speakers, keynote speakers, and performers and people involved. And this will be happening at the Arab American National Museum, kicking off at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, July 19th.
The concept of incorporating learning through diversity, learning through music, and these sort of offshoot events certainly has grown over the years. We've seen, you know, as being involved with WHFR, we've seen these kind of shift around a little bit. So this concept of sort of, I guess, defining exactly how much outreach is going to happen in any given year, I suspect, Ralph, both you as deputy director and having that history and that longevity, as well as the festival coordinator and the entire team, probably put an incredible amount of time and thought into, at this stage of life, what do we need to focus on? What do we need to talk about? What do we need to try to help educate our community about? Would you say that's accurate? And what's the tone for this one?
Oh, absolutely. And you definitely touched on something that's very important to us, which is to expand what we've been doing through the years and to offer more interactive and educational aspects to the diversity of the Concert of Colors. So we have reignited the Cultural Exchange Network, which is a organization that helped to initiate the Concert of Colors many years ago, along with New Detroit. And the Cultural Exchange Network involves members of the communities of color throughout Southeast Michigan coming together and sharing ideas and sharing, you know, we have meetings where we each have a chance to talk about the things that connect us and celebrate the diversity of our various cultures. So the Cultural Exchange Network is heavily involved in this year's Concert of Colors. And as I said, it's being reinvigorated and reignited, and we're very excited to have that back as an important element. So that leads to many more opportunities at the festival, not just the forum that I mentioned kicking off on July 19th, but also booths and tables and information areas where people can come and learn more specifically about the different cultures. So, of course, it's a lot of fun to come down and you dance and you have food and you have music, but there are also opportunities to dig in a little bit deeper in many cases with some of the presentations through the Cultural Exchange Network. But yes, you definitely hit it on the head. That's something that we've been trying to do for years. And I think this year is an example of the expansion of that involvement with various communities. One thing that we are trying to do too with the Cultural Exchange Network is to have each community of color take on a role to present things that they want to see at the Concert of Colors, you know, that represents their interests and their community more than, you know, just us overseeing it and deciding what's appropriate. It's better to have each member of the Cultural Exchange Network tell us what they want to see and what they want to add to the festival. So the collaboration with the Cultural Exchange Network can't be overstated. It's just been wonderful.
When a festival is run well and produces not only incredible talent, but also crowds, it's going to hopefully continue to be supported. You have so many wonderful partners, including that which you just mentioned. I imagine this couldn't happen without the community support, and that includes organizations and businesses alike. What's the response been this time around?
Well, we are very proud to have a lot of our collaborative partners come back, and we have some new ones, and then unfortunately some that drop off. So we're always looking for more partnerships and ways to continue to do what we do, which is pretty massive, and to do it for free. And of course, that requires partnerships and foundations, and we have the Knight Foundation, the Kresge Foundation, the Community Foundation, Bedrock, Wayne State University, DTE, New Detroit, Skillman Foundation, Midtown, U of M Detroit, just, you know, various partners. And those are more of the background support that we get. And then we have partners more in the foreground that we work with, such as the Detroit Institute of Arts and the Detroit Historical Museum, the Michigan Science Center, the Scarab Club, the Charles H. Wright Museum of African American History, and many of the wonderful cultural organizations in Midtown, the Hellenic Museum of Michigan. There's just a lot, and they all bring something as well in terms of programming and activities that add to the vibrancy of the Concert of Colors.
We're joined on our line today with Ralph Valdez, who you know, I'm sure, from something in this community, particularly if you've been a listener of WHFR, currently working at our fellow public station, WDET. We know you've got quite a history there, and also the history as deputy director and former coordinator of Concert of Colors, again, for many, many years here in the Metro Detroit area. Ralph, with having a variety of locations instead of just, you know, kind of, you know, we recall for a while there it was just at the Max or at the now Aretha Franklin Amphitheater, you know, Chicago, right, that kind of stuff. So we know things shift, and based on, as you indicated, kind of trying to get better every year, we know that that's going to be a thing and necessary. But I'm seeing so many varied locations on the schedule this time around, and to me that means more accessibility to more people. So that's how I view that. It seems like a lot of logistics here for the coordinators. Just, you know, extra bonus for those of us that just want to show up and enjoy it. But can you share some of the other venues, the other locations that will be involved with the schedule, even starting Wednesday the 19th? And this, again, as you indicated, it's not just a Saturday-Sunday thing or a Friday-Saturday-Sunday thing.
Yes.
It really kicks off on Wednesday. So tell us about the details.
Okay, so we mentioned the Arab American National Museum's kickoff with the Forum on Community, Culture, and Race at 6 p.m. on Wednesday. But we also have a collaboration with Third Man Records here in Detroit on Canfield. And that is a triple Blue Note record release party featuring the Dave McMurray Band. So it'll be some great jazz music with a lot of Detroit grit and funk, and celebrating a few different record releases that Third Man and Blue Note Records are collaborating on. So that begins at 8:30 on Wednesday, July 19th. And on Thursday, we have some wonderful things happening at the Detroit Film Theater of the Detroit Institute of Arts, including Jessica Kerr Moore's Daughters of Betty, powered by Black Women Rock, featuring Divinity Rocks, Kimberly Nicole, Imani Usuri, Liza Colby, many, many others. These women bring together a type of music that was inspired by the legendary African-American funk artist, musician, and songwriter Betty Davis, who actually was married to Miles Davis at one point, and sadly left us too soon. She died young, but her legacy carries on with Jessica Kerr Moore's Daughters of Betty, and that's going to be starting at 8 p.m. on Thursday, July 20th, at the Detroit Film Theater. And then we also have the Detroit Symphony Orchestra contributing this year in the outdoor Sosnick Courtyard on Thursday at 6:30 with the National Arab Orchestra, a pan-Arab and Arab classical experience led by Michael Ibrahim. We'll also have the Michigan Science Center on Thursday kicking things off with Arts and Scraps, kid-friendly arts and free admission. So a lot of the organizations, as you mentioned, Susan, would normally have to charge for some of their programs and programming, but with the collaboration with the Concert of Colors, we insist that everything remain free. That's a very important part of the mission for Ishmael Ahmed, our co-founder, and also for the mission of the festival, to make it so accessible that people, you know, just have no trouble finding us, getting there, and not worrying about having to pay for any of the programming, whether it's at the Detroit Institute of Arts, the Michigan Science Center, the Detroit Symphony Orchestra, or the Charles H. Wright Museum, or many of the other folks that we have involved. So there's going to be another, you know, we were talking about how there's much more interactive and educational forums and discussions. On Friday, July 21st, the Charles H. Wright Museum of African American History will be having a discussion on a discussion about music and art in general with the Michigan Council for the Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts Chair, Maria Rosario Jackson. And that'll be starting at 10 a.m. at the Charles H. Wright on Friday, followed by a forum presented by the Carr Center. And it's called They Say I'm Different, Rock and Roll, Race, and Radical Women, moderated by Jessica Keir Moore, again, and featuring the headliners from her Black Women Rock. And then more wonderful stuff happening at the Detroit Historical Museum, which I can describe a little bit more if
I appreciate it. And I'll tell you what, I think that we've got listeners that are kind of waiting for the thing that's going to spark them. Many probably already are sparked. I know I am. But comes to this lineup at the Detroit Historical Museum, we don't want to miss this. So please go for it, Ralph.
Oh, sure. Okay, so the Detroit Historical Museum has really stepped up their partnership with the Concert of Colors this year. And so they're going to be joining us on Friday, July 21st, with various stages, you know, inside and outside. And the music begins at 2 p.m. with Thornetta Davis at the Detroit Historical Museum on Friday, followed by a Nigerian alternative dance electronic group called Keswa. And then at 4:45, Sophie, which is co-founder of Vibes with Tribes and Anishinaabe, Ojibwe artists and hip hop. And then with the Native American theme continuing with Robert Mirabal as the headliner on the stage at the Detroit Historical Museum at 5:30. So he's a Native American multi-instrumentalist who has made many recordings and has been championed by public radio and alternative radio for many years. And he's definitely an important artist worth checking out. That's Robert Mirabal at the Detroit Historical Museum as part of the Concert of Colors. And then on stage two on Friday, we'll have Funk Wagon with Coco Butterfly, a sort of gospel-infused funk. We'll also have the Mona Lees, a hip-hop poet-turned-rapper, Hadassah Greensky, co-founder of Vibes with the Tribes, and more Native American vibes and music. And that's followed at 6:15 by Nick Speed, who is a platinum music producer and DJ who's gotten a lot of attention worldwide. We're very proud to have Nick Speed on board this year. There's going to be some very interesting music at 6:40 by a group called My Detroit Players. And I haven't heard them yet, but they describe themselves as moody grooves of trip hop jazz over prog rock infused funk. So that appeals to me. I like all the things that Concert of Colors brings, you know, these hybrids that can't really live anywhere else, but maybe on WHFR and public radio in general. But yeah, that's something that I think our listeners and your listeners would really respond to. And that's going to be followed by a powwow dance led by Hadassah Greensky, Sufi, and Jamie John. So indigenous music, part of the theme at the Detroit Historical Museum. on Friday. There's also going to be stuff happening on the community stage inside, including, and this starts at 2 p.m. also, including Rod Hakim, Victorino, Al Bettis, George Montrell, Greasy, Sonny Dulfi, Danny Darling, who's a psychedelic soul, funk, and retro soul artist who's getting a lot of attention. So there's going to be a wonderful assortment of music happening at the Detroit Historical Museum on Friday as part of the Concert of Colors. And then at the Charles H. Wright Museum of African American History, just across Woodward, there's going to be an outdoor stage with Caravante Cirque Afrique, acrobats music, traditional Guinea. I'm sorry, I'm not saying that. Cirque Afrique. So it's an African sort of, what's that? That Canadian group that does the acrobatic circus stuff. It's sort of an African version of that.
Oh, yeah.
And then there'll be Odu Afrobeat Orchestra, who have been kind of carrying the flame for Fela Kuti for many years here in Detroit, a Nigerian Afrobeat. And that's followed by Legally Blind, R&B, and Soul. So this is all happening at the Charles H. Wright. And then the University of Detroit, University of Michigan Detroit Center will be having another forum. So like I said, there's a lot of opportunities for these discussions and interactions with audiences to find out, you know, more about cultural things and artistic things. And this is happening at 6 p.m. on Friday. It's at the University of Michigan Detroit Center. It's a forum called More Than 8 Mile, Detroit's Quest for Hip Hop. And the reception is from 6 to 6:30. The panel discussion begins after that with panelists Tafiri, Brent, Al Nuke, Michael Smith, Nick Speed, once again, Sam Donald, Deidre, DS, Sense Smith, and it's moderated by Dr. Antonio Coiler. So that is Friday's activity. So we've discussed Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday for the Concert of Colors, and there's much more for the weekend that we should let our friends know about. But the Concert of Colors information can also be found at our website, which is concertofcolors.com.
That has been a very useful site for us lately at WHFR, figuring out, you know, who's going to be where, when, and people signing up to work on days because they want to get near certain acts and so on. So concertofcolors.com, absolutely a must go to yes, prepare and plan your long weekend with the Concert of Colors, the weekend, July 19th through the 23rd, Wednesday through Sunday. The Saturday and Sunday lineups tend to just be jam-packed with not only variety, but diversity, again, in terms of opportunities to see acts, to see bands that we probably otherwise just would never have the chance to see unless we go to a different culture, to a different country, to a different area. So the opportunities not only to enjoy and appreciate the music, but at least what we see is to educate younger people, like children and grandchildren, on styles of music that are different than the mainstream, unique and special, and in many cases kind of sparking a little something that will carry with a young person for the entire, you know, their lifetime of music appreciation. So this really is more than just dancing and sitting around. It really is an education, even in the watching the acts themselves, because of what they bring to the stage. What would you like to highlight for Saturday, Ralph? It's all yours.
Oh, sure. Well, thank you again. And I just wanted to touch a little bit on what you just said, that it's so important that, you know, instead of having to travel to all these faraway places, it's right here in your backyard, you know. So we really encourage people to come and enjoy these various types of music and cultures and activities that will be happening, because, you know, otherwise it would be hard to imagine getting to all these places, you know, especially traveling nowadays is so difficult. But, you know, to see things like the Caravante Cirque Afrique, which I was trying to remember the name of the group that they're similar to, which is Cirque du Soleil, but they're an African version and from Guinea, kind of more traditional. Caravante Cirque Afrique, that's going to be happening outside of the Detroit Institute of Arts on their North Lawn stage, starting at noon on Saturday, July 22nd. There's also another forum on Saturday starting at noon at the Scarab Club with the Boggs Center in collaboration with the Scarab Club, and that's right behind the Detroit Institute of Arts. The discussion at this forum will be Roles and Responsibilities of Artists in 2023, America, the Way Forward with Lenny Sinclair, Dr. Gloria House, Halima Afikasals, Amelia Duran, Sterling Tolles, Reverend Robert Jones, Wayne Curtis, and more, moderated by Charles Ezra Farrell. So that's going to be at the Boggs Center Forum, which is being held at the Scarab Club on Saturday, July 22nd, starting at noon. And we also mentioned Arts and Scraps, which is a kid-friendly arts activity and crafts sort of thing that happens every year with the Concert of Colors. That'll be at the Detroit Institute of Arts. They're going to be kind of moving around from the Michigan Science Center to the Detroit Institute of Arts over that stretch of time of the weekend of the Concert of Colors. Also on the Outdoor North Lawn stage at the DIA on Saturday, we'll have ECNO, E-C-N-O, which stands for El Conjunto Nueve Ole. It's a Mexican sort of rock group that performs in wrestling masks and has a lot of fun on stage, high energy. And that'll be followed by the Detroit Reggae Soca All-Stars, Caribbean reggae and soca music. And we were talking earlier about how we're involving the various communities of color in the Cultural Exchange Network to take on more of a role. And the Caribbean community has certainly done that with the Concert of Colors in the last few years and continues to do so. The headliner for the Outdoor North Lawn stage on Saturday is a Cambodian rock group with American and Cambodian flavors and 60s and 70s type influences, and they're called Dengue Fever. And I've seen them several times. They're just an amazing group, a lot of fun. If you haven't seen them, come and check them out. As Susan was saying, this is an education as well as entertainment. And for young people, on the Wolverine stage, which is the smaller stage on the South Lawn at the DIA on Saturday, we'll have Casey the Model and the Cuties, a children's dance group. So that'll be at 2:30 p.m., followed by Raquel Soledad. It's sort of a dance group. And then Mollywop at 5:30, who are known for their high-intensity George Clinton-esque funk. And Tambo Bravo, Cuban Jazz at 7. And the one and only Ian Finkelstein at 8:30. And he has just turned heads and dropped jaws and gotten people all around the city excited for the last few years. This amazing young musician, Ian Finkelstein, will be performing his style of Detroit jazz on the South Lawn Wolverine stage at the Detroit Institute of Arts on Saturday, July 22nd at 8:30 p.m. as part of the Concert of Colors. Also, the Hellenic Museum of Michigan, which is right next door to the DIA, used to be the children's school there, is now the Hellenic Museum. They'll be having some Greek folk and music with a group called the Aegean Roots, and there'll be dance as well at 5 p.m. from the Hellenic Society for the Performing Arts. But the Hellenic Museum begins at 3:30 with the Aegean Roots Greek folk music. Let's see. Also on Saturday, I'll just finish up with Saturday, if you don't mind, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the final day. But the Detroit Film Theater inside the Detroit Institute of Arts on Saturday will have at 1 p.m. The Tiny Desk artists from NPR's Tiny Desk Contest, and then the Calvin Cook Band, which is a wonderful experience that combines gospel and soul and Detroit-style funk in a very sort of spiritual and uplifting way. That's at 3 p.m. at the DFT, the Detroit Film Theater, inside the Detroit Institute of Arts. And then at 5:30, Simone Shaheen, who is an amazing Palestinian oud player, will be taking the stage. And then the headliner inside the DFT at the DIA is Julian Marley on Saturday. And he starts at 8:30 p.m. bringing his wonderful roots reggae and Jamaican music. Of course, one of the sons of the legendary Bob Marley. So Julian Marley, Simone Shaheen, Calvin Cook, and the Tiny Desk artists will all be taking the Detroit Film Theater stage on Saturday, July 22nd. And then there's a wonderful thing happening at the Detroit Historical Museum at 2 p.m. on Saturday. It's a conversation with Don Was and John Sinclair, and it'll be moderated by our own Antley C. from WDET. And we haven't even talked about Don Was and what he's doing this year as part of the Concert of Colors, but we will get to that for sure. And then the Scarab Club on Saturday will be having the Paxton Spangler Jazz Group that have been also turning heads and getting people excited for many years now. And then at 9 p.m., the Scarab Club behind the DIA will have the Astro Mystic Sama Ensemble, a very interesting jazz outfit. So that's all happening Saturday as part of the Concert of Colors, based mostly around the Detroit Institute of Arts, and all for free. And once again, concertofcolors.com for more information.
And you know, Ralph, I'll just jump in and just reiterate the variety of locations leads also to opportunities for people of all ages, some people that maybe can handle the heat. Hopefully it'll be a nice, beautiful summer weekend. For those that maybe can't handle the heat, some of the indoor events at some of the indoor venues may be more appropriate. And there will certainly be food and things to drink and so on.
Yes.
So everyone is staying happy and healthy and hydrated. Wear the sunscreen, yes, of course, but there really is something for everyone. So I just wanted to make sure we reiterate that for our listeners that are thinking, I don't know if I can be outside all day.
Right.
You don't have to.
You're right. There are a lot of opportunities to go indoors. And if you do want to be outside for some of the outdoor stages, you can bring your own chair. There may be some chairs available as well, but mostly it's the kind of festival thing where it's an open space where people bring their own chairs and things like that. So you can also go to the website for more information about what is actually allowed in these areas. But I think it's pretty open and pretty casual. So if you would like, I can tell our friends out there about Sunday.
Sunday is just going to blow people's minds, I think. There is so much going on, so much variety. And again, some people that are coming back, staples year after year, and other brand new ones. So if you would, let's wrap it up with Sunday, because it's going to be a big one.
Yes, Sunday is a very important part of the festival. The last day, we want to go out with a bang. And of course, we mentioned Don Was and his All-Star Review. That's going to be happening inside, again, at the Detroit Film Theater, part of the Detroit Institute of Arts there. And this year, Don has brought together many outstanding Detroit artists to celebrate Detroit jazz giants. So we'll have A. Spencer Bearfield, Isis DeMille, Elvin Waddles, Thornetta Davis, the Gabriel Brass Band, and Dave McMurray, once again, saxophonist, who will be celebrated on Wednesday the 19th at Third Man Records for their Blue Note record party. So that's happening at 7 p.m. at the Detroit Film Theater of the DIA, preceded by Thornetta Davis, who will be taking the stage there at 4. And then that stage kicks off on Sunday at 2 p.m. with Infinite River, which is Gretchen and Ethan Daniel Davidson doing experimental Detroit music. That'll be pretty cool to see as well in a beautiful space. You know, the Detroit Film Theater is just a state-of-the-art historic and vintage theater that has great sound and great seating. We also have Arts and Scraps again over the weekend. That'll be at the DIA with a kid-friendly arts and, of course, free admission. And then on the outdoor North Lawn stage, we'll have another performance from a different Tiny Desk artist from NPR's national contest. We'll have Michigan spin on the Tiny Desk artist starting at noon. And then once again, ECHNO, the Mexican rock group with the wrestling masks, that'll be at 2 p.m. And then Calvin Cook will come back to perform on the outdoor stage at 4:30. And then this group I'm also very much looking forward to. They're called Tamacrest, and it's that sort of bluesy African Malian Tuareg rock that is really hard to describe, but it has a sound of its own. And many folks have taken to this artist, Tamacrest. It's T-A-M-I-K-R-E-S-T is the spelling, Tamacrest. I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but that's, again, one of the educational and fun things about the concept of color is you get to learn and see and hear things you wouldn't see or hear or learn about anywhere else. And that's, once again, at the Outdoor North stage of the DIA at 7 p.m. The Wolverine stage, which is the smaller South Lawn stage at the DIA on Sunday, will have start with Sunday services from the Ark, and then Michael Turner doing Motown, Roots Vibration doing Caribbean Rock, Obie King and the Mother Funkas, got to be careful how you say that name, and then Raphael Lafier, who is also one of these artists that have been just getting a lot of attention lately. His experimental jazz and Detroit-style music is going to be closing things out on the South Lawn Wolverine stage at the DIA at 5:30. We'll also have a couple of films showing at the Detroit Historical Museum, including a film, I don't know if you've seen it, Susan, but it's definitely worth everyone checking out. It's called Rumble, The Indians Who Rocked the World. It's a documentary about Native Americans and Indigenous people's contributions to rock music that you just would be really surprised to know that these different artists had such an impact and were Native American that often get overlooked. And that's at 1 p.m. at the Detroit Historical Museum on Sunday. And then at 3 p.m. on Sunday, we're going to be showing and winding things up with our Concert of Colors documentary that came out about a year or two ago called Unity Through Diversity. So it's an opportunity for people to kind of get an overview of the whole event in one film. So it's just going to be a great weekend and a great overall stretch of time from the 19th of July into the 23rd of July, with that emphasis on that weekend and winding up on Sunday with that film of the Concert of Colors documentary.
Yeah, it's kind of coming full circle. Ralph Valdez, Deputy Director, Concert of Colors for so many years now, and we can see your spin and your footprint on this year's lineup as well, Ralph. And I know it takes a team, and you've got quite a team working there to make sure that we are getting great talent, and certainly no exception this year. And the fact that every single event that you just mentioned, we took 15 minutes to go through so many different events that most of us probably have never heard of before. 95% of these artists probably new to most everyone listening. Every single one of these is a free event. And there really is nowhere else that you're going to get that. So this is the weekend to be in Detroit, the long weekend to be in Detroit for Concert of Colors. For more details, again, concertofcolors.com, concertofcolors.com, just as simple as that. Ralph, final thoughts as we wrap up. Maybe we want to talk about planning ahead, parking, shuttling, that kind of thing, just to make sure logistically people that want to show up can show up.
Yeah, there are a lot of spaces for people to park and to get to the core of the activities, which is, as I said, the Detroit Institute of Arts. There are parking structures and parking lots all in the Wayne State area where the DIA is, the Midtown area. There are Q-line shuttles that go to and from that spot on Woodward. There are, as you mentioned before, refreshments, food and drink, and food trucks and things like that will be available. One thing I forgot to mention, just to wrap it up, is that the Lowriders of Detroit will be once again joining us with a display of lowrider culture cars from Southwest Detroit and Mexicantown area at the DIA. So we'll have lowriders once again as part of the celebration of cultures at the Concert of Colors. So yeah, just to wrap it up, I would just say, come on down if you've never experienced it before. Pick a day or a time, or come down for the whole weekend or the whole shebang, starting on the 19th at the Arab American Museum and winding up at the Detroit Historical Museum with the Concert of Colors films and everything in between at the DIA and the Scarab Club and the Michigan Science Center and the Charles H. Wright Museum of African American History and all the wonderful partners that we have in the Midtown area. So, yeah, thank you again for letting your listeners know about the Concert of Colors and hoping to see everyone down there.
Oh, thank you, Ralph. It is truly our pleasure. And if you are able to join, please check out the WHFR tent. We'll be near the Wolverine stage all weekend long. And again, looking forward to a wonderful, wonderful long weekend of music, arts, culture, and diversity in the celebration of Metro Detroit's 31st Annual Diversity Festival, Concert of Colors. Ralph, thank you. Great success. Looking forward to it. And keep up the good work. Try to get a little rest in between, though, so you're refreshed and ready to go. Huh?
Thank you. You're so kind, Susan. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
We've got more on the way. This is the WHFR Journal. Please stay with us.
Please join WHFR on Friday from 2 p.m. until 4 p.m. as DJ Kitty Love brings 2 hours of the best in new blues releases and artists from the local Metro Detroit area to the 89.3 FM airwaves. Listen to all hues of blues during the Highway 61 cruise at Henry Ford College Radio, WHFR.FM. Highway 61.
Imagine a disease that affects more than 10 million Americans, yet few know its name. I'm talking about lymphedema, LE. Many people, like my mom, get it as a result of cancer treatment and afterwards face a lifetime of swelling and pain. The cruel irony is many times its severity can be lessened only if you learn about it and act in advance. If you're at risk, ask your doctor about lymphedema. Take this as your chance to learn and live. Learn more at lymphaticnetwork.org.
Joining me right now in the scenic group, we've got Eleanor Dubinsky and Dario Acosta-Tyke over the magic of the internet, and they're going to be part of a show at the Arrowhead Center for the Arts coming up on Saturday. You're in Grand Marais. That's at 7 o'clock. There's more information about that at GrandMarais Music Association.org, and really excited for them to join me today. And it's their first time coming to northern Minnesota, so I hope you're excited, folks.
We are thrilled. We can't wait.
Yeah.
Hi.
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 I'm really excited to have both of you because you're both such talented musicians. I guess we can start with Eleanor talking about the fact that you're a cello player, but you do like a lot of really cool jazzy arrangements. And tell us how you kind of got your sound and started playing cello in a jazz setting.
I started playing cello when I was very young, classical, as most people do. And then I started singing jazz and musical theater, and my orientation was always more towards like Latin or West African or Brazilian music. And so I think the cello sounds like a human voice, and so it feels like a natural connection to bring cello into those realms. And then it's fun because it's unusual. And then I heard a cellist from Brazil whose name is Jacques Morellenbaum, who played for years with Tom Jobim and other seminal Brazilian artists, and he really, I would say, set the bar very high and is an incredible example of a cellist who's gone into other areas with music besides classical. And Yo-Yo Ma too, for example. So it's a beautiful instrument, and it can travel into multiple genres. So
yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
What drew you to like Latin and West African rhythms as part of your music?
I don't think it was a choice. I think it was a nature thing, just the music that I feel. I've always been very rhythmically inclined, and I have also a history as a dancer, and I just love that particular, you know, there are many rhythms, of course, inside of Latin and West African music, but kind of syncopated patterns, you know, the clave, those things make me want to dance, and kind of, you know, it's the kind of music that without thinking at all takes me to another place, so just my nature.
Yeah.
What can you do?
and one of the things on your website and throughout your music is that you sing in several different languages. So tell me about what languages you sing in and how does that change the way you might approach a song or write a song?
Sure. So I speak French, Portuguese, and Spanish, and English, best I can. And for many reasons, there's not a direct line for the explanation, but I've always been, you know, musically inclined, and I think that learning a language can be like learning a piece of music. In the same way, I studied Suzuki cello, which at the beginning is all by ear, and so I had, you know, very early ear training, and so if you think of learning a language like singing a song as opposed to a kind of a mathematical, grammatical process, then, you know, a song, as you learn it, sort of becomes you, you become it. And I think the same in my experience with languages. And so it's always been a very joyful experience for me to learn and speak languages other than English. And it gives me outlets for parts of my personality that maybe don't come out in English, but come out in French or Spanish or Portuguese. And so when I started to write songs, we all have a lot of feelings. I have a lot of feelings. And some of those feelings and memories and life experiences were better expressed in the language maybe in which they took place, you know, or a romantic feeling for someone. Maybe it was easier for me to sing in French about it than English, and it becomes more poetic for me. So that's how I started writing in the languages that I live in, but also as an outlet for expressing emotions that that I have easier access to in those languages. And then that's dovetailed with working with other musicians from different countries who have, you know, French or Spanish or Portuguese as their native language. And I've been able to create a kind of conversation musically and lyrically with more communities through those languages. So sort of all of the above together.
And both of you have really stellar ensembles on the records that I've heard from you. So, and this can go to either one of you, but tell me about kind of like the music community that you're in Brooklyn, because it sounds like you've got some amazing players on a lot of these records. Mm-hmm. You can go to Dario.
Yeah, I don't know. Like the amazing thing that you can find in New York is that it's like the variety of musicians from everywhere that you can see and even meet and get together and make some music. And it's amazing because you meet people from different countries with different cultures, with different approaches to music, with different backgrounds, and they are all amazing. Because like me, for example, coming from a different country, so one of the places to make music, but the best musicians in the world is New York. So being in that center of the music and sharing with these people is like, there is some reciprocity of like exchange of music, and it's a constant learning for us.
Yeah.
And another thing you find is like, for example, Dario has a new album called Folklore, and the bass player on it's centered really in Argentine folk music. Dario's from Argentina, and his record is really focused on his Argentine folk roots as a musician. But the bass player is from Japan, and he, like many musicians all over the world and in New York, pursued his interests, right? So he's from Japan, but maybe Japanese folk music wasn't his main interest, and he has become incredibly well-versed in Latin folk music. So he was, you know, the right person for this album, even being from Japan. And you meet a lot of people like that who live in kind of multiple, you know, sort of identity of origin and identity of choice.
That's right. So that was an electric bass player on that? That's crazy, because I was listening to that album and I had just listened to like some Japanese jazz earlier in this week, and I felt a connection there. So that's amazing. Oh, wow. That it turned out to be the truth.
We should say his name, since we mentioned him. His name is Moto Fukushima, and he also has a beautiful project called House of Waters that he tours a lot.
Yeah. And before we recorded that, I said to him, like, don't try to fit in any kind of genre, like play, like be yourself. And he added his techniques that I think I can feel the connection with the Japanese music on the way he plays. So it's very nice. I love the addition that he brought to the project.
Yeah. If you're joining us right now, this is Eleanor Dubinsky and Dario Acosta Tyke, and they're going to be both at the Arrowhead Center for the Arts coming up on Saturday at 7 o'clock. And Dario, let's go back to you talking about your music upbringing in Argentina. When did you start playing guitar and getting really into music and know that's what you wanted to do?
Oh, wow. So I'm coming from a city called Tucumán, which is kind of like a small town in the north of the country. And it's a very cultural and culturally rich city. There's a lot of music, and I could say that this one of the symbols of the city is the guitar. So there's a guitar in every family, even if nobody plays guitar in that family, there's always a guitar that was from the grandfather, or there is a guitar there. And there's a strong connection with folk music. And my dad happens to be a musician too. He sings, he plays guitar, he also builds instruments. He's an artisan. So I grew up listening to music and singing and playing music and going to rehearsals and to see my dad play with his band. So I started playing guitar. I remember actually the first time I grabbed the guitar and I asked my dad to teach me the first chord. I was, I think, 8. I remember that moment. I remember the chord he taught me. It was E minor.
Oh, the easiest one.
Yeah, the easiest one. And then, I don't know, I felt so in love with music, and they saw that, so they sent me to the conservatory in the city. So I started when I was 10, the conservatory, and since then I've been in music forever. I've never stopped.
What are some of the hallmarks of Argentinian guitar compared to something like Spanish guitar or something? Is there a style that really makes it stand out?
Yeah, I would say the particular thing that you can find in guitar in Argentina is that it's super connected to the classical guitar that came from Spain, like you said. So the traditional guitar in Argentina, we call it guitarra criolla, but it's the same. It's a classical guitar. It's a Spanish guitar, but we call it criolla because it's instead of playing flamenco or playing classical music, we play more gaucho music, folk music. But the guitar that we use, the sound of the music of my country is like the nylon string, is an acoustic sound. It's like the electric sound is like something more contemporary. It's not super. It's not really the traditional sound of the music. So it's like really like finger style nylon string guitar. And a very acoustic sound.
Yeah, I love that nylon string. It's softer, but it's got real nice tone to it. I'm gonna go back to Eleanor here because I forgot to ask you kind of the same question we just talked about Dario's roots. What's your background? Where are you from originally?
I was born and I was raised in St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh man!
So just go south from Grand Marais. I don't know, several hours, and you'll end up in St. Louis, I think. So I grew up there, and very much steeped in American music, whatever that means. There's a lot of blues in St. Louis, a lot of jazz. When I was growing up, not so much Latin influence. Now I think there's a larger Latin community in St. Louis, but I grew up there. And then went to school in Rhode Island, so went east, and then had the good fortune to study in the Czech Republic. And then I ended up moving there for another year after college. So at that time, there were a lot of people from all over the world living in Prague because Prague was this, affordable city in transition. So a very exciting and affordable place to be for creative people. And then from there, I joined a band when I was there, and then eventually moved to New York. And I've been in New York since then.
That's fantastic. We have one of our major volunteers here is from St. Louis, so I hope he's listening right now.
Oh.
Mike, shout out to him. Another thing that I've seen that you're really into is doing different music education programs. Can you tell me about some of those that you've been involved in?
Sure. And actually, I will say we're going to do an educational program in the afternoon when we're in Grand Marais. So I think it's at 1 p.m. I have to check the schedule. Maybe you have it. But we are doing an educational performance centered around folk music from Argentina. And we're going to do some songwriting with the audience as well. So we hope that you bring your imaginations. So my degree actually from school is in philosophy of education, focusing on art and social change, or like the difference really that arts can make in the world. And we are very committed to bringing what we do to young people and people who maybe don't have so much experience writing music or writing songs. We do workshops in elementary schools and middle schools and high schools. And over the pandemic, we were very fortunate to work with the State Department several times doing virtual education programs in Honduras. And then we're going to do one in Argentina in person in the fall.
We just did one.
We just went to Mauritania in West Africa, but it's really like a bridge between, it's like the St. Louis of West Africa. It's like the bridge between the West and the North of Africa. But that's been an incredible experience, and it's really based in cultural exchange. So we bring our music and our history, and we do performances and collaborations with local musicians and students, and hopefully create something brand new that couldn't exist without either one of, you know, the parties involved. So
it's like we learn from them and we try to put together their ideas to make a very nice piece of art that comes, that really comes from the people who attend the workshop.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So the show on Saturday at the Arrowhead Center is just going to be the two of you and just a duo show. And what should people expect from that?
I don't know.
Fireworks. No, no, we
don't have so many expectations.
No, we actually also over the course of the pandemic, we've really fortified our duo because, as you can imagine, a lot of our in-person performing went away with the pandemic. And so we were together and started to do a lot of virtual concerts and then in-person concerts, just the two of us. And so we have developed a repertoire of original songs in English and French and Spanish and Portuguese, and also beloved songs from Latin America, from France, primarily in Europe, and like American popular culture that we play in our fresh duo style. So that means there's, you know, influences from the guitar stuff that Dario was talking about. You know, I play hand percussion and sing, and we have vocal harmonies, and it should be, I would say, like a very, hopefully up, our goal would be for it to be a very uplifting, soothing, heartwarming, and shared experience. The audience members, you know, we hope that you sing and clap and, you know, interact with us so we can feel you and you can feel us and we all get to go somewhere together.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be good. And, you send me that album with the, it's got like, Louis Armstrong and the Favorite Things, which I think I'm going to play right after that because I like that arrangement. So, we'll play out with that. I guess my last question is, what are your expectations for Northern Minnesota? Are you going to try and get out and hike or, chill by the lake or spend some time apart from playing?
All of the above.
Yeah, all of the above. You all should know, Will gave us a great tip for, we're flying into Canada, so as we drive down, we'll be able to, I think, go check out an incredible waterfall, right? And so we're interested in all tips, but I think we expect it to be an absolutely beautiful place with wonderful people, and whatever we can see and experience there, we would like to. And I personally would like to learn more about the indigenous culture and presence in northern Minnesota. Dario didn't mention this, but the area that he comes from in Argentina is also very much a mix of indigenous tradition and European and, sort of gaucho Argentine cowboy tradition. So I bet we'll find some connections between that and northern Minnesota, but we have a lot to learn. So please teach us.
All right, we'll do that, and I hope you have a great time here, and people have a great time at the concert. Once again, Eleanor Dubinsky and Dario Acosta-Tyke, and they're going to be coming to Grand Marais on Saturday at 7, Arrowhead Center. There's more at NorthShoreMusicAssociation.com. Thanks a lot for being on the show.
Thank you, Will.
Thank you so much. We hope to meet you when we're there. Thank you, thank you.
Sweet.
The Henry Ford College Learning Lab is your central location for academic support. They strive to assist students and faculty with techniques that are evidence-based and will increase your academic success. The Learning Lab offers in-person and online services to help you succeed. They offer tutorial assistance provided by faculty, professional, and student tutors, one-on-one academic assistance, including strategies for improving test-taking and studying, workshops and presentations to classes or groups on strategies for learning success, study groups and review sessions on a variety of subjects, hands-on learning resources such as anatomical models in our bone room, computers, printing, copying, and scanning. For more information, please visit hfcc.edu/learnlab.
Hello. Welcome to WHFR 89.3. Let me introduce myself. I am the Diva. My show, Lyrical Infusion, is live on air Saturdays 5 to 8 p.m. I invite you to join me for an exceptional musical experience. It's not really a show. It's a whole vibe. It's me, the diva. Add music, and it's live. Lyrical infusion with the diva. Saturdays, 5 to 8 p.m. As you desire, I bring the fire. 89.3 on your radio dial. WHFR.FM. That means we worldwide, child. And we're still making waves.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
Stay.